Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Jody E. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, November 29th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page XVII, the second full paragraph. Today's readers are Tanya P., Mary P., Vanessa G., Dion R., and Cheryl S. The reference numbers for this morning's 7 a.m. meeting, Wednesday, November 29th, is 20,889. And Tuesday's 10 a.m. meeting reference number is 20,883. That's 20883. The following is the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Tanya P. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is Tanya P., recovered in Michigan. And here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Tanya P. I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions.
Thank you, Jody. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Mary P. from Texas. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page XVII, paragraph 2. I will ask Vanessa G. to begin reading.
Hi, everybody. This is Vanessa G., recovered in New Mexico. Thank you, Jody, for your service. A second small group promptly took shape at New York, to be followed in 1937 by the start of a third at Cleveland. Besides these, there were scattered alcoholics who had picked up the basic ideas in Akron or New York, who were trying to form groups in other cities. By late 1937, the number of members having substantial sobriety time behind them was sufficient to convince the membership that a new light had entered the dark world of the alcoholic. Vanessa G. in New Mexico. So, last night, after doing my 11th step review, I started to read this paragraph and started to become aware of a resentment. And all of a sudden, the phone rang, and it was another fellow from the East Coast doing an outreach call, asking if she could be of service to me. And I said, well, guess what? I've got a 10th step. And I started to complain almost immediately because, you know, it just had started to come into my head. And I went through the 10th step with my resentment and realized that I had become quite grandiose about my ability to quote-unquote, convince the membership that a new light had entered the dark world of the compulsive overeater. When I got abstinent and started to work through the steps, it was less than 6 weeks before someone asked me to sponsor them. And I was in the middle of my ninth step, and I remember texting Harlan and asking him, you know, am I ready to start sponsoring? He came back with three very succinct words, you are ready. And so I started. And by the time I was 6 months, I really wanted to start a meeting locally and bring the Big Book message to my local folks. And so I started a meeting, and initially it was, quite a few of them showed up, but the meeting has sort of turned into a national meeting, and not that many have locally have availed themselves of the Zoom meeting. So then I have just recently started going to in-person meetings. There's a couple, started one, and the other one was started by somebody else, and trying again. And you know, I just realized this morning after having done that 10th step last night, because the resentment was, why are these people not taking hold? This morning I woke up and I thought, oh my gosh, you know, this was 3 years after Bill W. got sober and checked into the town's hospital in December 1934. And I'm not close, you know, well, I'm close, but I'm still not 3 years. And I'm expecting myself to be Bill W., I guess, or thinking that I am. And I need to let go of that and remember that there wasn't even a book at this point. It was one alcoholic talking to another and carrying the message. And sooner or later, something will take hold. I'm not going to go out and, you know, convert, you know, 10 people at a time. I'm going to do it one person at a time. And that's my job. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Vanessa G. from New Mexico, for getting us started. Although we value your experience so much, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences also. That said, who would like to share this morning on that paragraph?
Larry G.
Larry G.
Roz G.
Roz G.
Vicky P.
Tanya P.
Vicky and Tanya. Okay, let's go with that list. Larry G. from California. Roz G. from California. Vicky, I didn't get your initial or your state, and Tanya. Please go ahead, Larry.
Thank you, Jody, for your kind service and your kindness to everybody in this group. My name is Larry G. I'm from California. Oh, my God. I had to talk about this morning. The metaphor of light and darkness, it just makes me cry. And I don't cry easily. And I cry a lot on visions. And I should be crying because I've been saved. I've been saved off the commoner heap of the bedevilments, and I'm now a sober, honorable man in this program. I don't see, you know, I know people refer to the Big Book as a text. I don't see it as a text. I see it as a book of prose. I mean, Bill W. was a freaking stockbroker. He wrote stock reports. He wrote prospectuses. If you're on sleep meds, you want to get off them, get a hold of a prospectus, and it will put you to sleep by the time you finish the first page every night. But this man is writing poetry. I mean, the darkness and the light, great metaphor. And I've been in a dark place. I have never had any health challenges. All of a sudden, I've got three in a row. I've got this health challenge that's attacked my immune system, which I'm being treated for. I have a total knee replacement now on December 6th. Please pray for me. And oh, I have injured my neck 3 weeks ago. I'm out of commission. I'm saying, what the hell? What the hell's going on? What's the message? My wife continues to ask me that question, Larry. You know, what's the message here? What's the lesson you need to learn? God is teaching something. And yesterday I was in a dark place, and I just got on my knees to God. And you know, the light always defeats the darkness. You know, I believe that the dark prince walks amongst us, and boy, that dark prince wants to take me down. Not only does that dark prince want me to compulsively eat, but that dark prince wants my soul. And I got on my knees yesterday, and I prayed, and I listened, and I prayed, I listened, and I walked out of that room in good health. And I went about my day, even though I'm in physical pain. And I'm giving that physical pain up to God so that maybe someone else doesn't have to physically suffer. Where does that come from? You know, tell me, where does that come from? Only from a recovered mind, only from a surrendered mind. Anyway, I turn it back to you. I'm just so touched by our shares. Vanessa, great job. Well seen, well said. And I pass it back to you, Jody.
Thank you, Larry G. from California. Roz G., please share with us.
Good morning. I'm Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, which is in the county of Los Angeles. And a couple things have come to me as I have listened to this reading and the shares. And the first one is that meetings do not belong to me. They belong to we, the group, to us. And, you know, one of the traditions says, and I cannot quote it verbatim, but something about how, a God is it in the midst of our meeting, and God leads our meeting when we're together and we make decisions together with God. And I started, I didn't start a Zoom meeting. I started a Zoom meeting. I was on a very long, like 20-year telephone meeting. And after COVID and Zoom came along, I proposed to the group that we move it to Zoom, and we did. It took, you know, it took voting, it took research and everything, just like it should. And the group decided to go on Zoom. And what does Roz want to do? Roz wants to take credit for starting the meeting. And that is just not the principle. The principle is that the meeting belongs to the group and to God. And so I'm not even a regular attender at that meeting anymore, and I've given it to God. And I could always go back, but it's not mine. And so that kind of came to mind, is that when these things pop up, it's like a missionary. A missionary starts something, and then they let God take over and do what God wants with it. And so that kind of came to mind as I was listening to the reading and the shares. And also, you know, how Overeaters Anonymous and 12-Step have changed me. I was a woman who was in poverty, American standard poverty, out of a size 16, poor, no life, no goals, always depressed. And I don't know if I heard time or not. Did I?
You have 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Okay. And I'll just, you know, say that I'm not that woman anymore. I'm a woman who's in a nice sized body that's, you know, good and healthy for me, eating healthy, wonderful food, have all kinds of recreation. I am an attraction and not a promotion. That's what these meetings that belong to God and belong to the group have done for me. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. from California. Vicki, please go ahead. And what is your initial and state, please?
I'm sorry, I was unmuting. Are you calling Vicki?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's Vicki T, and I'm from Florida. Sorry about that. Thank you for letting me share mm-hmm. and reading this yeah. beautiful paragraph. And I'm referring to the light coming from the dark to the light for myself. because it's really apropos for my recovery right now. I have just recently found my higher power, and I'm choosing to call him God. About 2 weeks ago, it wasn't like a complete flash, but it was the ability, something came together for me. I've always known it intellectually, what page 45 tells me, that the whole purpose of this book, the thesis, is to help me find a relationship with God or a higher power. And I've known it intellectually, but I can never get it into emotionally in my heart, spiritually. And it was just like a tick mark that, okay, I did this. And I made my time with God very like, maybe I'll do it, maybe not. It wasn't a commitment. And I woke up, it was like 2.5 weeks ago, maybe 3, and something just came over me. And now that time, it started 15 minutes, then it went to 30 minutes, then it went to 45 minutes. Now I'm up to an hour. And I work, so it's like I'm getting up so early. And I go to this other meeting, and it's so cute. All the recovered folks always say, we get up really early. None of us sleep late, you know, and I always thought that was pretty funny. But like now I'm one. And I will tell you, the experience that I am having with God is undescribable. It's not a high. I've had highs before, you know, the white cloud kind of, or pink cloud, whatever the heck, you know. But this is just a feeling of connection and calm. And the matching of calamity with serenity, it's really coming through two-way prayer. And I know that that's part of the program because I was told that that started in the Oxford group. I've also written my own prayers based on some of our basic program prayers, and then I do a meditation. And the combination of the three has just been such a move into the light for me. You know, I have things going on in my personal life that are disturbing, and I'm okay. I really feel like God is becoming my best friend and my partner and the best trauma therapist I ever had. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Vicky T. from Florida. Anya, please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Tanya P. from Michigan. Jody, thank you for your service and all who have shared and will share. My sponsor told me that I had something to say, so let's see if I can say something. This paragraph to me is about people who had picked up the basic ideas of Alcoholics Anonymous and were starting to form meetings. During the pandemic, and maybe even before the pandemic, our local meetings here died. We had a Zoom meeting that went for quite a while, and then, you know, suddenly it was just, you know, one or two of us showing up once in a while. And I was the Zoom host, so I was there every week, and I finally said, I'm not doing this anymore. So we all have gone our separate ways. There are six of us that have kind of stayed in touch, and there's this, what I keep hearing from these fellows is, I need hugs. And we decided to get together last night and talk about starting a meeting. And the outcome of that was something new, which is, you know, what this paragraph is about. This is something new. It's something exciting, changing the world of recovery. And we've all gone different directions. One is in ED, one has gone to treatment, one has gone off the wagon. So we decided that we were just going to get together to read recovery literature, you know, read and study recovery literature, and just talk. And I'm really excited about it. It's something new, and it puts me back in touch with my local fellows. I'm grateful for this meeting. I try to listen to Vision Meeting every day, but I need that face-to-face kind of contact. And so I'm really grateful, and that's what I have, and I pass.
Thank you, Tanya P. from Michigan. Okay, I'll now take a list of people who would like to share. We are on page XVII, the second full paragraph, beginning with a second small group. And though we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. Dion R., I heard you. Who else would like to share?
Joan Marie M. California.
Joan Marie M.
Thank you.
And who from California?
Barbara A.
Barbara A. Anyone else?
Canova.
Nancy J.
Canova?
Yeah, from Ohio.
Canova from Ohio and Nancy J. Okay, great. Let's stop there. I have Dion R., Joan Marie M., Barbara A., Canova, and Nancy M. Please go ahead, Dion.
Okay. Thank you, Jody. Good morning. My name is Dion R., and I am from Ohio. Very grateful, recovered from compulsive overeater. This paragraph reminded me, too, of how I can get my ego deflated and boost sometimes. When I want to take credit for something, I want to take credit for, you know, bringing my children into the world. I'm like, no. Yeah, I was just an instrument. And I'm glad that Bob and Bill were the instruments that opened the door. Just opened that door. They took a chance. And my growth in the program, I used to think, well, oh my gosh, if it wasn't them, none of us would have a chance, you know. And I believe that my higher power would have probably used someone else. But I don't know if I'd have heard the message. I'm just grateful that they did. And all the ones who started meetings, Zoom, and everything. And it just lets me know that last part also sticks out, that I don't know what all may happen if, when I'm standing on the road to recovery, standing in the solution. This is by late 1937, the number of members having substantial, I'll say substantial, after the time behind our recovery, was sufficient to convince membership that a new light had been entered the dark world. And that's all I knew, was a dark world. I thought the dark world was my light world until I walked into the sunlight of the Spirit and saw the light world. I thought the dark world was normal. Everything was just gloom and doom. Get what you can, dog eat dog, you know, survival of the fittest, you know, brotherly love and that stuff. I thought those only just for your family and maybe church people. But I didn't actually know and feel the effects of coming into a new world, a new sunlight, and I'm still going. And I'm walking, and I have many, walked through many and outgrown many illness. You know, and again, it's not me. I did not do that. All I said was yes, and keep putting the one step in front of the other, and give the credit to the spirit of the universe, which is my God, God of my understanding, and also thanking the people that showed me the way where I could listen in Overeaters Anonymous, and prior to them, other programs. So I do give, I believe in giving credit where credit is due, but oh wait. I'm just grateful there's a light and I'm not in the dark world. And I do sometimes seem like I'm seeking it, sinking back into that dark place. And I'll reach out to a fellow, because after a while, that's someone with a repetition. You keep doing it, after a while, it comes to recovery. And thank you all for allowing me to be a part of the sunlight today. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Dion R. from Ohio. Joan Marie M., please go ahead.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. I wanted to talk about, first of all, I'm Joan Marie, a recovered compulsive overeater in Nevada. And thank you for everyone that's put this meeting together today and all the shares so far. And I listened this morning to the early one, and you know, it just brings hope and it brings recovery, and I enjoy so much to start my day with that. So I want to talk about the new light that entered the dark world of alcoholism, or me, compulsive overeating. And the light was always there. And the light to me represents God, my higher power. And that light never left, but I put that food in between us. So therefore the light was very dim. God never left, like I said, but I cannot have two masters. And I allowed food to be my master for so long. And today, because of listening and doing what I need to do, having a sponsor and all that required in that, I have total and absolute freedom from the bondage to food. And it's by God's grace and mercy, but I had to do my part too. I had to be willing to put down my alcoholic foods that stood between me and my higher power. I'm so grateful today. So many blessings in my life. And one of the biggest blessings is this program and all the people that are on it that share and pour their hearts out. Grateful, grateful, grateful. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Barbara A., please share.
Good morning, Jody, my fellows. This is Barbara, a compulsive overeater in recovery today by the grace of God. Reading with you today is a gift. I do a lot of reading in another book, and there seem to be these parallels about being vigilant and never knowing when that compulsive overeating is going to take over, or that thought, that pattern, and how these groups grew from a very, very small group to large. There's thousands of meetings. Especially in the past couple of years, there's been this explosion of the virtual intergroup, so many Zoom meetings. I mean, there's just, it's changed so much. I kind of see a parallel here where it was, you know, slowly growing and going to older cities. I see the same kind of expansion. This is where, for me, Overeaters is today, this growth of meetings and Zoom and phone meetings. And I guess I just want to say to myself that this has been a process. I mean, we talk about, in my other readings, I talk about how God has always been there, and why have you forsaken me, God? Why weren't you here when I needed you? And I kind of treated my program like that. Like, why aren't you helping me get thin? Why, you know, I've asked you, I've prayed to you, I want you to do this. Until I came to these rooms and started practicing the principles and working the steps, I realized the way I was petitioning my God was all about me and all about what I wanted. And it's very, very evident when reading this book and how the meeting started that it wasn't about that person or that. It was about sharing the message and sharing the recovery, which is what this meeting does. I guess that's it for today. I'm just so grateful to be on this line, grateful for my abstinence and my recovery, and grateful for your service that keeps this meeting open to so many people. And I pass.
Thank you so much. Barbara A. from California. Canova, please go ahead. And what is your initial?
Yeah.
Canova?
I'm here. I'm Canova, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And this Thanksgiving was, I lost my son October of 22, and I wasn't doing good with the food, and following that, I just went into total binge mode, and in August I said, okay, what are you willing to do? Because it's all about willingness for me. Okay, I'm willing to get on a vision for you and just listen. That's why I don't talk much, because I feel like I need to absorb all this. But so I was willing to do that, but losing my son has affected my whole DNA. I can't describe it to anyone. He was my only son. But God blessed me with a grandson. So this Thanksgiving, everything, a lot of us are getting older, sick, and whatever. My sister usually cooks. I had no thought about, you know, what I was going to eat for the day. And so I said, well, Canova, your life is different, so you got to do something different. So I proceeded to go outside in Ohio with a nice day and rake some leaves, come back in and listen to two meetings. First, I did a gratitude list. That's what I started off. I did a gratitude list because I am very grateful. I have been in some dark places in my life more than once. And the ADA, I lost my husband. And in 94, I was in the darkest of place. I went to a treatment center. And I was so desperate. I asked somebody, how can I get in a treatment center? Call your psychiatrist up and tell them you're going to kill yourself. And that's what I proceeded to do. That's how bad I was. But I know there's hope. I've come out of those places. Now I'm in another down spine. I miss him, but I have to tell myself that, you know, he's okay. He would want you to be okay. He wouldn't want you in a bag or a box of anything. And I'm grateful to my higher power. And my spiritual awakenings have come little by little, you know. And but anyway, I'm just grateful today. And I tell myself, well, you know, if you're having a bad day, today, all you can do is say, thank you, God. I go around some days, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for bringing me out of this. And thank you. I know he's going to bring me out this time. And the light is starting to let in just a little bit. I thank everyone on this line, and I thank everyone for all the service that they freely give of themselves. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Canova from Ohio. Nancy M., please share.
Good morning. It's Nancy J. from California. Thank you so much, moderator and everybody on the line. I didn't really have a plan on what I was going to say. I just wanted to press star one and be a big girl today. Let's see. The line that says, behind them was sufficient to convince the membership that a new light had entered the dark world of alcoholism. Sufficient to convince. After being in program for years and in and out of relapse, what would it take to be sufficient to convince me that there's light? And what that has become in this last, you know, almost year of my latest sobriety, my latest abstinence, is by listening to the people that have gone before me, by listening to your stories of recovery, by listening to your working of the steps, by taking your phone calls, by calling you, doing what I hear, emulating you. That has become sufficient for me to have this beautiful, sustained abstinence these months. And before this time, it's always been my way, Nancy J's way. I worked the program, I worked the steps, but I would tweak things because that's the way it, quote, worked for me. Well, that was exactly the way it did not work for me. And y'all talked about ego this morning. It's huge for me because, man, do I have one. Somewhere in, I think, the 12 and 12 OA, it says I'm an egomaniac with an inferiority complex. That is me. So doing these things, doing the steps, using the tools, getting on these meetings convinces me, has convinced me, and I'm so grateful. So grateful for that. And I think that's all I have. And I'm so appreciative for everybody on the line. And have a great day, everyone.
Thank you so much, Nancy J. from California. Okay, we have time for two, maybe three more people. Who else would like to share on this second paragraph on page XVII?
Anne A.
Kara B. Okay, let's go with Anne and Kara. Go ahead, Anne, please.
Hi, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Let us know where you're calling from.
Sure. My name is Anne A., and I'm calling here in New York. Thank you for your service and everyone on the line. You know, I was going to open AA meetings as part of going to OA when I was 20. That was 1975. I would go down to the city, New York City, go to the AA club for the dances, and I would talk to recovered alcoholics. And I was attracted to one too, but he had a girlfriend. But at 20, I was into my disease. I had lost some weight. I had lost weight, but I was dieting with group support. And I was deaf and I was blind. And I had to experience and suffer 45 years of the effects of my self-centeredness, my self-pity, my selfishness, my dishonesty, and my fear. And I was brought to my knees 43 months ago. And I am just so grateful that I saw a new light, that I had asked in a simple prayer, help me, and my higher power, whom I call God, came to me, and I entered into the light, became abstinent. I'm a Zoom recoverer. But what's more important, I think, that I wanted to say is I hadn't picked up those basic ideas when I was 20, but I have picked them up now through this meeting, through attending Big Book meetings at night, and through the fellowship, and especially through my sponsees. I just am in a parking lot. I just finished getting off the phone, reading chapter 12, working with others. And, you know, I have tears in my eyes often when we read the Big Book together because I am so grateful. My higher power has given me a second chance at life because I made a mess. I created so much chaos and confusion. And recently, I'm just finishing my amends. I thought they were finished. I thought the Step 9 promises had come true. But my gosh, indeed, there's more. There's more. So if there's any newcomers on the line, we beg of you to be fearless. We're here to help you. There is love in these rooms, and there is indeed recovery. And I am so grateful that I've given a second chance, as I said, to recover. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you so much, Anne A. from New York. Kara B., where are you calling from?
Thanks so much. Hi, I'm Kara B. I'm calling from Michigan. And I am, I normally can only listen to these meetings via recording. I'm not able to be here and join you live very often, but I am here today, and I just am so grateful. I'm just so grateful for the miracle that has come as a result of these early pioneers of AA having the courage to do what had not been done before. And because of their faith and their courage, it has blessed millions of lives, including mine. I was so lost. I was a compulsive overeater of a hopeless variety. And I thought that I would die in my disease. No matter how I tried, I could not stop. My behaviors with food were insane. My life was unmanageable. My relationships were a mess. And I am so deeply grateful that I was able to find originally online meetings and that God has orchestrated my recovery to lead me to what I needed, when I needed it, and when I was ready. I've been in recovery for a couple of decades now, and to have the food neutrality is nothing short of miraculous, especially when I remember how my life was before. To have a Thanksgiving where I could just eat my abstinent food and not have any any discomfort about what other people are eating, not to lust after someone else's experience with food, to have peace and to focus on relationships and have food just be a part of the day and not the focus is nothing short of miraculous, especially compared to what my life was like before. So I just wanted to claim my seat and express my gratitude and share just very briefly and say thank you so much for making this meeting possible because it blesses my life daily. I listen to them every day. So thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Kara B. from Michigan. We have time for one more share. Is there someone else who'd like to share on this second paragraph, page XVII? Forward to the second edition. We'd love to hear from you, even if you don't often share. We'd especially like to hear from you. We have time for a 2-minute share now.
Hi, this is Diane H. from Florida.
Hi, Diane. Wonderful. Go ahead, Diane.
Very grateful for the meeting this morning. So I don't usually catch the 10 o'clock meeting. I have to listen to recordings. But I did this morning, and the rooms have been very helpful to me. I was going over my 11-step and 10-step, and I was seeing how the program has made such a difference in my character as a person. I'm a likable person where in the past I didn't just dislike myself because of my overeating. As I started working a program, I discovered that I was not such a likable person, very selfish and self-absorbed. But by the grace of God, today I can stand myself one day at a time and be giving to others. Thank you for allowing me to share our past.
Thank you so much, Diane H. from Florida. Okay, we're about out of time. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Dion R., please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Oh, yes, I will. Hi. Thank you again for allowing me to serve. This is Dion R., Grateful Recovery Compulsive Overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own health is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. With that, I'll pass.